Morning. Do better than that. Come on. Good morning. You're with me this morning. Okay. So we were sitting. It was Wednesday night. Apostle sat down in his chair and he looks at me. He had come over. He had met with the worship team and they were kind of having a discussion about, like, how do we on a monthly basis, on a regular basis, how do we get to this point where we're creating the sweet smell? What do we need to do, at least in our worship services, to stir that? And so he came and he sat down and he's like, do you want to preach on prayer this week? And probably at any other time, I probably would have said, nope. Nope. But something just stirred within me, and it was like, without even missing a beat, I'm like, yes, absolutely. And the Lord just dumped something in me right at that moment. I've been kind of chewing on it since Wednesday night. I'm really excited about this, about where the Lord's going to take us. But on a monthly basis, from here till the end of the year, we're going to be looking, we're going to be taking a month, and we're going to be focusing on something that will help us move toward creating that sweet smell, our word for the year. And the we talk about hunger, and we need hunger for God, but there are things that we need to be hungry for to help us move to that sweet spot, okay? One of those things that we need to be hungry for is prayer, okay? So prayer is our focus this month. Now, to start with, so today it's results of prayer. Now, we could talk about we pray for something, we ask for something, and then we, you know, the Lord delivers or we get results. That's not the kind of results that's not, when I say results of prayer today, that's not what I'm talking about. That does happen. God does respond to our prayers. James tells us that the prayers of a righteous man are effectual, but that's not. I'm not talking about the external results of prayer, the things that we ask for and the things that we get. I'm talking up today about the things that happen within us when we pray, because those are the things that are going to help us create that sweet smell. So if you go to the next slide. So we're going to be talking results of prayer. So we're going to, it's going to be, I love stories. We're going to tell a story. This is a very familiar story, but I hope as we move through this, this is Daniel in the lion's den, but I'm hoping that you're going to see buried in this chapter, because the story takes place in Daniel chapter 6. I hope that you see more than just Daniel prayed and he was thrown into a lion's den and God saved him. There is so much more in this chapter related to the results of prayer than just that simple conclusion. And that's what many times historically, what we've boiled things down to. And when I come to you and I share with you things, I want you to be able to see how to look at a scripture and pull out additional things that are in there. There are layers and layers and layers of things, even in one chapter. I'm going to hopefully go through this as quick as I can, not drag it out. I got Apostle down in junior church, so probably about 30, 40 minutes, he's going to be putting the white flag up and asking for help. So we're going to try to get through this in that time frame, okay? But there are, this whole story initiates with Daniel being known as a man of prayer. Now, I want you, so we're going to be looking at results of prayer. It's in Daniel 6. But what I want you to get in your head at the start of this and going through this month and this year is that when I talk about prayer, I am not talking about a prayer where you sit down and, you know, this is what I need, Lord. I need this and I need this and I need this and I need this. It's not the prayer that we talk about when we sit and have a meal and I need to have prayer. It's not the corporate prayer that we have in when we're together here in Sunday morning in church and worship together. when I say prayer, and when we say prayer going forward from this whole year, we're talking about your one-on-one communication with the Lord. And it comes in all kinds of forms, okay? I tend to be somebody who it's not very structured. I just like to talk all day long. It drives Apostle crazy because I'll be in the kitchen and I'll be talking out loud and he'll say, "Are you talking to me?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not talking to you. Go do your business. I ain't talking to you. If I talk to you, I say Mark." Okay? So I'm talking about a communication one-on-one with the Lord where you understand that, and this sounds so simplistic, and you're like, "Yeah, I know that. But are we living it and are we walking it out? He is a real person. A real person. Just because you can't see him standing in front of you makes him no less real. And real people like communication. Real people like to talk to each other. Real people like to hear back and forth what's going on. And so when I talk about communication with God, I'm talking about exchanging information. That's because that's really what communication is all about. It's exchanging information, exchanging viewpoints, exchanging opinions, exchanging thoughts. It's a successful conveying or sharing of ideas and feelings. So throughout the course of your day, when I talk about, and we talk about getting the results of prayer, I want you to think of it in terms of, am I communicating, am I sharing, are we giving information back and forth? It's like I'm driving down the road. Lord, I'm going to this meeting. I know in and of myself I'm probably going to put my foot in my mouth. So do you have any thoughts for me? Do you have an idea of what I should do or not do? Lord, I'm really nervous about this. And then listening and having him give you feedback. And it's this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And this should be happening. In Jewish custom, it was a 24/7. We are part, we are adopted in, we're heirs through Christ. He was raised Jewish, so I'm thinking we should have this 24/7 back and forth communication. Sometimes it is formal. Sometimes I do go to my prayer closet and stay in there. Sometimes we do have corporate prayer together. Sometimes we do pray at a meal. But that's one little teeny tiny piece. And if you're missing the communication piece, the back and forth piece, then you're not going to get any of these results. I'm just going to tell you aren't. And there's a lot of results that Daniel witnesses to us in the sixth chapter. So I want to give you the background on Daniel 6. Prior to Daniel 6, we know that he was taken captive. We know that he stood, we have evidences where he stood up. You know, he didn't eat the food that the king in chapter 1, chapter 2, he didn't eat the food that the king wanted. He stood his ground. Why? Because I think he was communicating with God. We see him in the ongoing chapters, in chapters 3, 4, and 5, where the two different kings, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, are having dreams that nobody else can interpret, and yet they call Daniel in because they know Daniel, and they know that he's going to have an answer. And so in chapters 3, 4, and 5, we've got him interpreting dreams, evidencing knowledge and wisdom that nobody else was evidencing. I believe that, again, we're going to find that in chapter 6. This comes as a result of his prayer life. His communication back and forth on a steady, regular, consistent basis with the Heavenly Father. Telling him what to do, what to speak, where to go, who to be. So then we get to chapter 6, okay? And we're going to do this, what Apostle would say is texturally. So we're going to literally, as we're going through this, I'm going to read through the verses and input. It's not going to, I know the chapter's long, but it's not going to take us all that long. I'll move things along. But I want you to see the whole thing laid out in more than just a Daniel in the lion's den, okay? Because we see that what comes out, this prayer thing with him and the results of it, are permeate everything in his life. So it starts off, it pleased Darius. So now we're on to the third king. Daniel is in a kingdom where, now get this, remember he was a slave. He was taken captive. He's in Babylon now. He's been moved from Jerusalem to Babylon. He is on his third king. Incredible that he survives three kings. But he's on his third king now, Darius. And it says, Darius, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, that which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 120, basically, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Daniel was first. That the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred among the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So, verse 3, an excellent spirit. Now, when I looked up the word spirit in the Hebrew, in the original Hebrew, it literally means the seat of the mind. He had an excellent mind. So this incorporated everything. This incorporated his ability to be creative, his ability to be analytical, his ability to manage as an administrative person. This was his ability to be thoughtful and think things through. And because it's everything that you can think of when you think of the most intelligent person. Think of the most intelligent person that you know. Think about how their mind works. This is Daniel, because an excellent spirit had to do with his mind. This is one of the results I think of as prayer. A result of communication, ongoing, back and forth with the Lord. And why do I think that? Because Romans 12 tells us that we are to be transformed, where? In our minds. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. That's what he tells us. Do I think for 1 minute that somebody had a greater mind than what Christ did? Not at all. He was God. There's nobody that could have thought like he did. There was nobody that could have been creative like him. I mean, he takes spit and he puts it on somebody's eyes and they're healed. He tells somebody to go and find a coin in a fish's mouth. That's pretty creative. He was analytical. He was intuitive. He understood what people were thinking and where their hearts were before they spoke. He had that discernment. So see, we are supposed to be like, we are supposed to move as we walk in this walk with Christ, and we have this back and forth communication with him. Do you know what? We become like those that we hang out with. We do. We become like the people that we hang out with. Because if you don't, in some fashion, you're not going to hang out very long, because one of you is going to go the other way, because we're going to be like, phew, you don't think like I do. You don't act like I do. You just make me yuck. Goodbye. So we have this where we have to become Christ-like. Our minds are transformed. We become as him. And so this is an outcome of that communication. So I would tell you, for people who are not creative, you will become more creative the longer you communicate with him. For those of us who struggle with memorizing or learning things, I would tell you, you will get better at it the more you increase your communication and your prayer with him, this one on that type of prayer, just talking to him back and forth throughout your whole day. It's going to improve. It has to. It's an outcome. Daniel didn't have a brilliant mind. I mean, he might have been a smart guy, but he wasn't standing out head over heels over 120 other guys in the third rule of a king, your third king, just because. he was having this back and forth communication, and the Lord's dumping things into him, and he is becoming more Christ-like the further it goes. I wholeheartedly believe that. So that's the first thing. You will become, you'll move toward having an excellent mind in all areas. You think of where you're lacking. I cannot do anything mechanical at all to save my soul. I couldn't do anything mechanical. We always laugh at our house because Elias, we were over at Joel's and Jesse's the other week helping them paint, and Joel is helping and Elias is helping him put the covers back on the electrical outlets. And I'm watching that kid, he's 3 years old, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he puts that on faster than I do. The mechanical piece. But I'm telling you, if, you know, my hands might not move that fast, but if I spend more time in prayer, I believe I can get there. My brain will go there so I can at least see how he thinks. This tool is needed for that thing. One example, Daniel. So let's go on to verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find, they could find none occasion, no fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Holy cow. So he was, they found him faithful. Now, in the Hebrew, this word is trustworthy. Trustworthy. Okay? So I found this little thing, and it said the best way to make someone trustworthy is to trust them. You will never get to be considered a faithful person. You will never get to be a trustworthy person if the Lord, if you're not having those communications. Because there are, when you spend time, and maybe it's your spouse or maybe it's a friend that you've had a friend for 20, 30 years, you trust them. You've been together with them a long time. You've seen a pattern of how they work. And so we have this idea as Christians that, you know, I might not be talking to the Lord every day, but, you know, he's going to let me do things. He's going to give me gifting. He's going to give me direction. He's going to walk me through this. He's going to, well, you're not trustworthy. You wonder why you're not receiving things or you're not seeing things happen in your life. Maybe you're not trustworthy in the Lord's eyes. Maybe you just haven't spent enough time with him one-on-one for him to really know. It's like Job. There wasn't a doubt in God's mind when Satan showed up in heaven and stood in front of God and said, if you let me do these things to Job, there wasn't one doubt in God's mind. Why? Because Job was trustworthy. He had spent time with the Lord, and the Lord knew that he could count on him, that he would be faithful. And so as we spend time with him talking back and forth, you are developing into a trustworthy person in front of the Lord, and so that he can give you bigger things, bigger tasks, bigger assignments. But if he's sitting there because you talk to him once a week, maybe, and in any depth, and he's saying, I would really like John Doe to do this. I would really like Sally to do this, but I just don't know. It needs to get done, and I'm not sure that they can do it based on what little conversations we have. So he's going to hand it off to somebody else because his work will get done. So a result of this communication, so with Daniel, he was having that, and that starts to show through to people around us. So he makes us trustworthy. This is kind of like if I was going to say, so this is kind of like when we, and you've heard this story before, but it is so true. This is kind of like a marriage, you know, and the Bible says that, you know, Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. So when we got married, we're driving north on our honeymoon, okay, 37, almost 38 years ago. We had been dating for 3 years, okay? So we're really, right now we're at 40 years together. But at that point in time, We had just gotten married. Because we lived 40 minutes apart from each other, we didn't see each other every day. And because we didn't have cell phones back then, and because phone bills were big, and neither one of us had a lot of money at the time, so we didn't talk every day, okay? But we're driving north after the after the wedding, heading north on our honeymoon. We're sitting in this little yellow canary Chevette, so we're shoved in. Here's a 6'4" guy shoved in this little yellow colored canary Chevette with a bad pizza in the back. Okay, that was just probably needed to be pitched. And he's not talking at all. We must have drove from Saginaw up to like Grayling. He hasn't said a word. And finally, I'm like, you're not talking to me. And his answer to me was, well, I'm not used to being with you all the time. Great crush on a girl's ego, okay? I'm not used to being with you all the time. I'm like, what the heck? But maybe God does that with us. Maybe God does that with us. Maybe we're in need of something when we're trying to get somewhere, and he's like, you know, and we're like, you're not talking. God, you're not talking to me. And we're like, when God's talking to, and he's like, maybe I'm not used to being with you. Maybe you're not talking enough to me so that I know you, so that I'm, you know, so that this is a good thing. Back and forth, back and forth. Next slide. Helps develop no faults in us. Oh my gosh, again, this is very similar. That's exactly what it said, that they couldn't find any fault in him. This is when we talk about holiness. Don't tell me holiness is not possible. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be holy. It is possible to be without fault before the Lord. It's possible. And the more that we communicate with him, the more we become Christ-like, right? That's what Christian means, Christ-like. And we see that in Daniel. It's literally, and the people around us see it. And Daniel, they're saying there isn't any fault in him. There's none. There's nothing. In fact, it says, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Oh, my word. We sing that song about find me guilty, I'll stand before the jury. Great song for today. But you think about those words, because that's what this is talking about. That the only thing the people around you can find wrong with you is that you are connected to God. And if it could be possible with Daniel, it's possible with us. We make excuses. Oh, I'm not perfect. I'm working on it. Da, 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 da. I'm telling you, if Daniel can do it, we can do it. The only thing that they could find at fault with him was that it was his God. So then we get these, so holiness, I'm not going to spend long on that because I know that, I mean, Apostle talks a lot about holiness. You understand it, but I want you to see that it is the communication, the back and forth on a regular basis, just chit-chatting. Lord, what am I supposed to do for supper? I don't even have a flipping clue, and I'm really tired of trying to decide. It doesn't have to be big, big stuff either. It's a back and forth, because you think of your best friend. Sometimes you think of, talk about things that are really, really deep and really, really important. And sometimes you think of just, what are we going to have for supper? So the communication, you've got to get it out of your head that it has to look a certain way. It is just like you were talking to your best friend. Back and forth. We need to be hungry for this. But this, so holiness is possible. He says, can't find anything. And then it says, I'm just going to read on a little bit. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and they came up with a plan. Okay? They came up with a plan, and the plan basically is, that, listen, we're gonna write a law that just, we know absolutely without a doubt, Daniel cannot avoid. We'll catch him, and we'll catch him in this law. What baffles me is the amount of time, because in verse 7, the presidents of the kingdoms, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, they consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree, whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. I don't even know why they said 30 days. Because they all knew it was going to take Daniel one day to screw this up, according to them. Absolutely confident. But they gave him 30 days. I don't know if they were just trying to, I don't know what they were doing. Trying to make it more presentable to the king. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know why they picked 30 days, because Daniel's going to fail at this in one day. They all knew it. They set him up. This law, in verse 8, writing that it is not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians. Now, think about our U.S. government, how it works, right? House of Representatives votes, Senate votes, it goes, might, if there are changes in the Senate, it might go back to the House, and then it goes to the president to sign. Once the president signs it, he cannot go back on it. It's law. He can't go back on it. That's what was going on here. So this is a setup. And the king, who is not thinking broad, he's just thinking, oh, this is really good because I got all these people and they're going to just, you know, they're going to praise me and they're going to worship me and they're going to bow before me and they're going to, you know. So he wasn't thinking big picture. Wherefore, King Darius, he signed it. And then we get to verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what did he do? He went to his house. What did he do? Went right back to what he normally does. Went to his window, an open chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees there 3 times a day, prayed, gave thanks before God as he did every other time. Do you know that when you are communicating with God on a regular basis, do you know one of the results is that of that? Well, there's actually 2 results. You become steady and you become courageous. You ever meet somebody who 1 minute they're depressed, 1 minute they're up high, all excited, the next minute they're blowing up at somebody out of nowhere, the next time they're crying, the next time, you ever find somebody who's just, when you meet them, you never know what you're going to get. You never know what they're going to come at you with. This is somebody who is not steady. Or do you have people in your work who, you know, maybe 1 week they work really super, super hard, and then the next week it's like, what the heck? What are you doing? Like, have you done anything? Because I've got stuff piling up on me, and it must be because you're not doing your job. Right? Steady in all ways. Our job as a Christian not is to live on the high mountain. It's not to hang out and dwell down in the muck of despair. Our job as a Christian, the longer that we walk with Christ, the more that we walk with Christ, is even. It doesn't matter what comes at you, good, bad, ugly, pretty, nice, awful, whatever. It doesn't matter. Life, death, doesn't matter. That you can present a steady countenance, example to the people around you. Even, steady keel. I don't know how we're going to get through this. We're just going to get through it. I don't know what the doctors, I know what the doctors said, but that's not going to change how I am conducting myself and carrying on. It's not going to change. I'm going to be steady as she goes. Why? Because we understand that the God of all heaven has control over us, our lives. He has a plan, and he is all for good, not for harm. We might not understand it, but we're going to walk steady. And we're going to be courageous. I'm telling you, one of the worst things that we can be is unsteady. These people that flip around all the time, bad witness. Like, if that's them, I don't want anything to do with them. If that's your idea of being Christian, I don't want anything to do with that. See, Daniel was steady as she goes. I don't care about a law. I know I have to pray. I know I have to have my communication. I'm going to do it regardless. So he goes to his room. He doesn't even try to hide it. Why? Because he's been hanging out with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those are the three guys that went into the fiery furnace. And they're the three guys that, if you read, I think it's chapter 3 of Daniel, where they say, Lord, we know you can save us, but even if you don't, it's okay. Let's go. I know you can save us, but if you don't, it's okay. That's courage. Face what is in front of you. And Lord, whatever you decide to do, I'm good. Let's go. Courage in the Hebrew, literally a quality of the mind or spirit that enables. So don't tell me you can't do it. Because this word, it says enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc. without fear. And also, as a result of prayer, okay, so it makes you steady and courageous, but it also reminds you of who you are. He prayed, as a Jewish person, he had to pray 3 times a day. Of this, I'll call it ceremonial for the sake of discussion, where it wasn't ceremonial to him, but what I mean is very structured prayer, where he had to face Jerusalem, get down on his knees, face Jerusalem, and pray. It was required by the Jewish law 3 times a day. When he was doing that, every time he got down on his knees, he was reminded, I am not a Babylonian, I am a Hebrew. Their gods are not my gods. God Almighty in heaven, Yahweh, is my God. So when you are communicating on a regular basis, back and forth, with your friend who is the Holy Spirit, it should remind you who you are. It should remind you that you were adopted child of God in the kingdom of heaven. It should remind you of who he's called you to be, of what he's called you to do. It should remind you of your spiritual genetics. That's a result of ongoing prayer. It's hard to forget who you are in Christ if you're talking to him on a regular basis. If you're not, it's pretty easy to forget. It's pretty easy to remember that I am just Joe Blow here walking this out on this earth with a job that I don't necessarily am excited about, with bills piled up to here and a government that's going crazy. It's pretty easy to think about that instead of think of who you truly are in Christ. That this is not your permanent home. This is a temporary dwelling. So then we get on. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. And of course they went to the king. And they're like, King! King Darius! Ha! Huh, you see what Daniel's doing? He's not even listening to you. He don't care about you. He don't care about your law. They start making all these things. Go to the next slide, please. They just make these. And we get on up to verse 14, which is the next result of this ongoing communication. It creates a desire in others to intercede for you. Look at this. Then the king, now this is the king. At this point in time, Darius is the ruler of the known world. Think about that. He is the ruler of the known world. These words. So then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased. He wasn't displeased with Daniel. Read what it says. He was displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. See, there's a lot of times when we don't understand that when we are communicating on a regular basis that God is already at work and he has people who he is putting in their hearts to work on your behalf, to intercede for you. If you jumped ahead a few chapters, you would see this in Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel is praying. He starts praying, and it takes 3 weeks, 21 days, for the answer to come. And in the meantime, God sends Gabriel, and they have this conversation. And Gabriel says, from the moment that you started praying, I was sending the answer. From the moment. It took a while to get to him. Why? Because there's spiritual battle going on. There are forces that do not want you to succeed. That's the truth of it. Spiritual forces that want you to fail. But that does not mean that you have failed. Daniel had people. God is sending people. He had the king. All Daniel knows is that he's arrested. All Daniel knows is that he's going to get thrown into the lion's den. That's all Daniel knows. He doesn't know what's going on. He sure doesn't know that the king is blaming himself at this point. He doesn't know that the king is awake all night trying to. I'm sure the king was reading through. I'm sure he called all his wise counselors. He called in all the legal experts. Is there any way to break this? Is there any way to break this? Is there any way to break this? He was interceding. Daniel didn't know it, but it was still happening. And so when we communicate with God on a regular basis, it creates a desire in others to intercede for you. We've all had this happen. We just don't recognize it as such. Something's not going well with work. We're talking to the Lord about it. And next thing we know, there's an answer, it's resolved, and we're on our way. Or I can get, Diane will give you a testimony of many times. In fact, she did last week about financial intercession, where she's praying, she's doing what, you know, the Lord told her to sell her house, da-da-da-da-da. What happens? The Lord's given her finances, blessings. People are interceding on her behalf. This happens all the time. We just don't recognize it as a direct result of our communication one-on-one with the Lord. It happens. The other thing that happens here, and I want to find it here. So he goes on, he can't intercede, you know, so that he can't bring about any change. He can't. It's in stone. He tries. He's up all night. He has no music. He has nobody reading to him. It's just the king pacing. You can just see him pacing all night long. Okay? And then so he has to take Daniel. He has to throw him into the lion's den. And he said, this is what the king says. Because I could add on here that it creates, it creates a witness. We'll get to that. It says, the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. We do have this part, and I will jump ahead just a little bit, where Daniel, this forgiving heart, when we think that, you know, I mean, Daniel could have very well been bitter, but he wasn't. We see in actually verse 21 that Daniel says unto the king, O king, live forever. That's a forgiving heart. So part of the results of prayer. See, all of these things are things that happen within you. They're not things that happen. God will answer our prayers. Those are external things. But these are things that happen within us. We get, when we are praying continually, we're having communication continually, you know what we get? We get a forgiving heart. At the end of this, Daniel is saying, King, live forever. This is the king that signed the law to throw him in there in the first place. How easy would it for us to be angry? How easy would it be for us to be mad? How easy for us to not honor somebody? So we get people interceding for us, and we get a forgiving heart. Go to the next slide. So then we create a witness. This is creates a witness. This is the other result of prayer. It creates a witness which drives others to God. Because what we see is in the morning, the king gets up as early as he can possibly get. I mean, he's been awake all night, right? He's got to get to dawn. He's got to get to the start of the next day. He runs to the lion's den. He has the stone because there's a stone with his seal on it. Nobody was supposed to break that. He goes, he has the stone removed, and he yells down. Get this, he's down there and he's yelling. I mean, I could just see this. And he's saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able, was he able to deliver you? Was he able to save you? Was he able to save you? And Daniel yells back, they've not hurt me, for as much as before his innocence he was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So Daniel doesn't even say, yeah, I'm okay. He's saying, I was innocent before, I'm innocent now. That's, again, go back to steadiness. Go back to courageousness. Because he doesn't say, yes, I'm okay, and leaves it there. He says, as much as I was innocent before, I'm innocent now. Think about that. That takes a little bit of courage. That takes knowing who you are. That takes an ongoing communication. He was talking to God all night long. Lord's going, I got this. Don't worry about it. So the king was exceedingly glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found on him because he believed in his God. And if you look up that word believed, it really is lived out. Totally consumed with his God. And we see that not only, so see, prayer, when you're communicating, I could add that, hey, the Lord will bring about justice on your behalf. I could add that too. That's another one. I mean, this chapter is full of the results of prayer. The Lord will bring about justice for you. Because what happens, he takes these men who plotted, not just the men. He took their wives. He took their children. Wiped out their families, threw them all into the lion's den. If you read it, it's in there. It says he took them, their children, and their wives. And the king threw them into the lion's den. See, you do your communication daily, regular. Build that friendship with the Lord back and forth. He will find you justice. You don't have to do it. He'll find you justice. And then he says, the King Darius wrote unto all the people, the nations, the languages, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God, steadfast forever. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, his dominion shall even be unto the end. He delivered and rescued. He works signs and wonders in the heavens and the earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? That's a witness. And when people see you live out your life, as you have a daily communication with the Lord, you're going to create a witness. I don't know how Joel does it, but I know that something's different from him. See, that's what people are saying. I don't know about Danielle. I don't know her background, but I know there's something different about her when she works with her children. That's what the families say. I don't know how Al comes up with the answers that he does when we're in tense situations at the township, but something happens differently with him. And then that gives him an opportunity to say, hey, I was praying about this. The Lord talks to me. He showed me what to do. God's given me a compassion for my children that I'm teaching. God's given me, wisdom when the guys are coming into the tool crib and need to talk to, you know. I mean, you will create a witness. It's a result of that ongoing prayer. None of this would have happened with Daniel if he wasn't praying, communicating regularly. Last one. And this is the icing on the cake, if you ask me. It's just pure icing on the cake. Encourages God's protection and his prosperity. Now, the word prosperity means raise to great honors, promote quickly, cause anyone to go on well. That's what the word prosperity means. In chapter 6, verse 28 said, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. To go on well. Do you want to go on well? You want to go on well? Especially in the crazy world that we're living in with all the mess that's happening, do you want to go on well? Because when you're communicating, God always blesses his people. God loves to bless his people. He loves to do good things for his people. Who are his people? People that he recognizes, people that he's used to being with. He loves it. He's waiting for us to be that person that he knows so well. I mean, it's kind of like with the boys. I know Titus and Elias well enough now that I got a pretty good idea. If I just want to make, just, you know, I want that special grandma's the greatest person on the earth moment. I know what to do to make it happen. And I think God's like that. He's our father. And he's like, oh, look at them. They're talking to me every day. We're having this great conversations. I know them. They're doing what I'm asking them to do. Oh my gosh, just let me just do that sweet spot for him. And that's what happened with Daniel. Great honors. Now think about that. That can be here on earth. It could be heavenly because we accrue crowns. Nothing better than throwing our crowns at his feet. You ever think about it? You get to heaven. I don't know that there's comparisons, but in my head on this earth, I have to make a comparison and think, how am I going to feel if there's somebody standing next to me has 1,000 crowns and I got one? Man, in the throne room, it's going to look like, man, I was slacking. And that's not why we do it, but somehow in your head, you have to get it in your head, something that prompts you, that pushes you to understand that great honors, I mean, he might elevate you in your business. He might. That's not out of the realm of possibility at all. Because I think he will operate on both levels. He'll operate on this secular, this earthly plane, and then I think he operates on a spiritual plane. And so elevating to great honors can come in different ways. Remember what it says in Proverbs, a man's giftedness will bring him before great men. To promote quickly, you get somewhere, you're going up the ladder, or you're business is booming or something's happening. It goes quickly. And then you cause anyone to go on well. So that's that prosperity piece. The protection piece is automatic. We see that. It is God's responsibility as our Father to watch over us if we are in connection with him. So we get a result of prayer is that you get protection. We don't see the spiritual battle going on around us. but it's there nonetheless. There are forces fighting against you being successful. There are forces that want you to fail. There are forces that want you to have all kinds of issues, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's relational, whether it's physical. There's all kinds of forces that want you to fail. Our God, it's his responsibility, if we are in close relation with him, to protect us and prosper. Those are amazing things. Amazing things results out of prayer. This is what I want you to focus on over the next month as we focus on prayer. Because every week we're going to be doing something with prayer. Communication. So don't get out of your head what you thought prayer was. Okay, or your picture of prayer. When somebody says the word prayer, what does it bring up? I want you to set that aside. I want you to think of prayer as going throughout my entire day, talking back and forth. And I want you to do that very, 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 very purposefully this week. Very, very purposefully. Try. And it doesn't mean you can't have your regular prayer time that you see as your prayer time. And it doesn't mean that you can't do meditation. It doesn't mean you can't do the other things. But I want you to very purposefully, when you get up in the morning, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me today? Give it a couple minutes while you're laying in bed for him to respond. Listen, give him time to talk back to you. Going through the day, Lord, what do I do with this? Give him time to respond. It doesn't count if you're just running your mouth and you're not giving him time to respond and you're not listening. It's crucial that we listen. Give him time to answer. Back and forth, back and forth. Next week, we're going to take a little bit of time during testimonies. We're going to talk about, I want you to bring one episode. A short one. We'll keep it short because hopefully everybody in the room will have something to say. But where you significantly saw that it made a difference. Results of prayer are much more deeper than just the answers that we're looking for. If the worship team would come.